Well, I titled the message this morning, Waiting, We Don't Come By It Naturally. I don't know if I can speak for all of you, but that was certainly for me. I don't come by waiting naturally. It's hard to wait. And yet, you know, in the Bible, there are verses all over the place that talk about waiting. So that must be something that's kind of important for us this morning. You heard in both the texts this morning talking about waiting. There's a couple other verses I want to share with you right off the top, and then we'll get right into the message this morning. In Exodus 14:14, it says, "The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still or wait." Isaiah 30:18 says, "The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him." The question, I think, for a lot of us is, how long do I have to wait, right? I see some of these stories in Scripture about people who had to wait. Here's probably the one that caps all of them, but Noah waited 371 days in the ark before he had dry land again. And he built the ark in 120 years. Talk about waiting. If there were seminars that were going to be taught on waiting and Noah was around, I think I'd be one who'd want to listen to what Noah had to say. Now, I'm sure during periods of time, during the building of the ark, and while they were in the ark, that Noah was probably saying things like, "God, how long? When?" But still, in the end, Noah just had to trust the one who was going to take care of him and rescue him and his family. Or you could go with the Israelites. They were supposed to be in the wilderness for 40 days. But they blew it, and they had to go 40 years. It's a lot of waiting, isn't it? How about Mary and Martha with their loved one, Lazarus? They had to wait an extra 4 days longer for Jesus to arrive. And by then, of course, they thought it was too late. He's been dead and in the tomb for 4 days. We know the rest of that story, like Paul Harvey used to say. Joseph waited 7 years and 1 week to marry Rachel, and then he had to work another 7 years to kind of work it off. I'm glad I didn't have to wait that long for my wife. How about Job's long suffering? We don't know how long Job suffered. There's nowhere in the text from beginning to the end in the book of Job how long he actually had to suffer. But theologians will say anything from a few weeks to as many as maybe 42 months. I'm not sure exactly where that comes from, but he had to wait a long time. And he suffered a lot. Another one that might be good to have for a seminar on waiting be Job. The question for us this morning, because these are people out there, those are people in the Word, this is things that happen in the Word of God, but what about us? What are we waiting for? I know one thing I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for the country to turn around. I'm waiting for God to do a mighty work in our country. I'm praying that somehow, some way, God would work in such a mighty way, hopefully through us, that our country would come back to its Judeo-Christian underpinnings as we started our country. Some of you might be waiting for direction in your life. You don't know what's coming next, and you're confused, and you're waiting. Or maybe you're waiting, as we prayed this morning for so many people, you're waiting for a healing to take place, or waiting for God to take away my grief, or waiting for God to do something that no one else knows about. I'm the only one that knows about, but I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. The question for us this morning might be, why are we waiting? And I think I know the answer based on Psalm 27. Those verses that were shared this morning, why are we waiting? The answer is, because we need help. Go back to that text again in verse 9. And here's what it says in Psalm 27, verse 9. "Don't hide your face from me. Don't turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper." Don't reject me or forsake me. Oh God, my Savior. You see, the psalmist finds himself in these verses in desperate straits. And yet he acknowledges why he's waiting is because I need help. I need help. And I'm asking for God to deliver. Verse 10 in that same text, he says, again, these are answers to why we are waiting. He says, don't forsake, but receive me. Perhaps receive me or receive my request, whatever it is in verse 10. That's what he says in verse 10. And yet there's a promise in God's word that's repeated several times. He says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Those who trust in God, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. We may have to wait, but I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's a promise you can take anywhere. Verse 11 in the same text, again, why are we waiting? Perhaps some of it is that God is trying to teach us his way. In verse 11, again, teach me your way, O Lord. You know, the only way that you and I can learn is by being taught. And sometimes it takes a while for the teacher to get the message across to the student. And so God is there to teach us, teach me your way. That means we need to learn and we need to wait. Verse 12 and 13 is the reality that you and I find ourselves in when we have to wait and when we need his help. Even though the enemy rises up against me, the enemy may not be a person, the enemy might be the thing that's going on, whatever it is, even though the enemy rises up against me, I will see your goodness at some point. You see the promise in these verses? Even though I'm in desperate straits right now, even though things are not going the way I would like them to go right now, he says in this verse, I will see your goodness at some point. Wait. Wait on the Lord. And verse 14, he puts it all succinctly in this statement. Wait, be strong, take heart, and wait. I read it all and I still don't want to wait. Because I'm a product of my culture, and in the culture we live in, so many times we are seeking answers that come, sometimes they do come right away, sometimes they don't for a long time. But be assured in God's word that we are waiting because we need help, and that help is coming, because God will never leave us and never forsake us. I thought about this. It was kind of one of those aha moments this morning, because maybe I never thought about this morning. I thought about waiting, but I never thought about this whole idea of, to a fuller extent, why we need to wait. But you know, if we lived in a perfect world, we would never need to wait. If we lived in a perfect world, we'd never need to wait. Let me give you as an example the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve fell. Everything that they needed was right there. Everything that they needed was right there. They didn't need to wait. It was there. You see, in a perfect world where God has provided everything that was needed, and he has provided that for us, but we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is infected by sin. We live in a world where there's this cancer called sin that digs away at a bunch of things that are going on. You know, if we lived in the perfect world, that sinless world, there would be no decay. There would be no death. There'd be no sickness. There'd be none of the stuff that you and I struggle with in this world we live in right now. None of that would be that way. In the perfect world, we would never need to wait. There will be that perfect world someday when Christ returns. But in a perfect world, like the Garden of Eden, we would have everything that we needed right there. then sin ruined it. Romans 8:19, in the text in Romans, we read about some things going on there that tell us about why we wait. Because of sin. Even all of creation is waiting. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed, for the saints to be revealed. The creation, all of creation. Creation is affected and infected by sin as well, isn't it? All of creation sees death and decay, the wearing away. That's what creation sees too. And even speaks at one point in Scripture about even the rocks crying out. Think about that. Even the rocks will cry out. You see, in this less than perfect world that is infected and affected by sin, even the creation is waiting for the final culmination. We were not the only thing that was affected by the fall. Death, adversity, competition for resources, hierarchy, all these kinds of things we see in the world around us, these are all sinfully tainted. Creation groans through the redemption of the saints and Christ's consummation of history and his return. If sin, as I said before, if sin would be removed, then waiting would disappear because we would have all that we need. Why do I say that? I say that so that you and I understand something. Waiting acknowledges we have a need. We need help. And you and I as believers in Jesus Christ need to understand in that waiting that we need to go to the one who is the source of everything that we need. God. Not the bottle. Not sex. Not the accumulation of material wealth. Nothing else in all creation. We need him. So in that waiting, we acknowledge we are in need and we know the one who can provide every need that we really have is God himself. No one and nothing else. It is God himself. So in answering this question, how are you waiting? By being totally reliant on the one who removes my sin. Totally reliant on the one who took care of the problem that keeps me waiting. By feeding on him, rather than feeding on the world's remedies. You know, it's all about me and my dilemma. Feeding on him instead helps us to recognize that he's the one that will fulfill whatever need it is that I have. And in the text in Romans 8, following the verses that we read this morning, there is some hope there too for us when we don't know exactly how to pray to God, because God, I know I have a need. The need is bigger than me. I don't even know how to express it to you, God, because it's complicated. My life is complicated. And he says, what? The Holy Spirit intercedes for you and for me. When we don't know the words to express, the Holy Spirit intercedes to the Father on our behalf. It says, God, you know what Dave needs. He doesn't know what he needs. But I know what he needs because you and I are one. And he knows what we need. And he intercedes on our behalf. Isn't that awesome to know? that you and I have living within us as believers in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit intercedes in ways that you and I can't even understand. We can't express it in words, and the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Let me read those two verses, and we'll be almost done here this morning. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words can't express. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I close, I want to help us to understand that we need to recognize that waiting in a sin-stained world is necessary. I'm here and you're here. And our world is affected and infected by sin. So waiting is necessary. But we need to ask God to help us to know how to do that in a way that does not cause us to look other places for our needs to be met, but instead to be still and know that He is God. To be still and know that He's got it. I think our signs are perfect for that. But you know what? I've discovered something in my life. The closer I get to God, the less I need to wait. Because He's already provided my need. And whatever it is it may be that I was waiting for is nothing now. It doesn't matter anymore. I recognize more and more He's provided all that I need. But yes, I still have to wait. I still struggle. I still wonder, God, how long? And Satan tinkers with that. He tinkers with that. He pushes our buttons. He says, see, God's not omnipotent. God is not sovereign. God is not omniscient. God is none of that, because you're still in need. And Satan will tinker with that and get us to think that God will not deliver. But I want to encourage you this morning with this. God will never leave you, and God will never forsake you. And even though you may have to wait, know that God knows, and He will deliver you and me. Next week, I'm going to talk about something else that I think is closely connected with waiting, and that's being satisfied. Paul says, learn to be content in plenty or in want, and I think those two are very much connected with each other. So we're going to talk about being satisfied next week. In the meantime, folks, yeah, we got to wait. For that, but we have to wait in this sin-stained world. But know that God's got you, and He's got it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, thank You. For the promises in Your word are true, and Satan is trying to tell us they're not. Satan tries to tell us that we've been forgotten in our time of need, and God's not going to take care of it. And then so many times, what we do instead is we go someplace else to find a way to meet that need. It never does. God, help us to wait, to be still, and to know that You will take care of it. You will take care of us. When we slip and we fall and we go in the wrong direction with it, God, pick us up, carry us back to where we need to be, and then help us again to wait on You. We won't have to wait forever, because when we're with You forever, waiting will be no more, because we live in a perfect place. We look forward to that. But in the meantime, You be our source of help. In Jesus' precious name, amen.